Welcome back to VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here on MSG+. Hello to the radio side, SiriusXM Channel 204. What's happening, y'all? How you doing? Glad to have you in with us for a night of football, Thursday night football. It doesn't get any better than the Eagles and the Giants. Okay, maybe it does. But they're betting opportunities. We have a lot of pre-flop bets on this. Matt, what is the current number on the game, sir?
We are sitting at Eagles favored by 5. 44.5 on the total, minus 245 on the money line, plus 210 if you want the Giants.
But you don't want the Giants.
I do not want the Giants. Yeah. I want nothing to do with the Giants in this game.
Yeah, I have a preflop on the Eagles at minus 4.5. Matt is up and down the prop board with props galore. He, too, is on the Eagles at minus 4. Look at him with the better number. Slayton over 49.5 receiving yards. Wentz over 245.5 passing yards. Scott over 19.5 reception yards. And D-Jax over 2.5 catches and over 34.5 reception yards. The return of DeSean Jackson and Lane Johnson to the Eagles offense. And you have the first leg of a six-point teaser with the Giants.
In the D-Jax, that was just a correlated play because of the nature of how he, you know, of the way that he plays football, right, and the type of receptions he gets. If he gets to 3 receptions, it's going to be over 35 yards, right? So it's kind of like, if I'm going to bet the over receptions, I might as well bet the over yards as well, because there's a very, very small window in which DeSean Jackson, who typically runs, you know, 18-yard routes down the field, is ever going to have 3 catches and is going to be under 35 yards.
Right. For sure. Yes, that is correlated. No doubt about it. Here is Kelly. Kelly Midland. He's got a Giants plus 10.5, Saints minus 1.5, 6-point teaser. So half of that in play tonight. And then the old Daniel Jones over rushing yards, 26.5. I actually like that play.
I thought that number was low considering he's gone for 70 in 2 of his past 3 games or something. He's been running for his life a lot. So, I'm liking that bet. I just saw a 55-yard touchdown run for Appalachian State. 14-7 in the Fun Belt. App State now an 18-point live favorite, no live total up.
Let me just refresh my memory because I'm sure the viewers and listeners are thinking the same thing. What were we looking for in that game again? I already forgot.
For them to start off slow and
right.
Hit the
That's
over.
That's what I thought we were
doing. It's not really working.
Yeah, that strategy seems to be out the window. 14-7, Appalachian State, 4:59 left in the first quarter. Preflop total of 69.5. Well on its way to that.
Live total just popped up at 82.
82 in game.
Hopefully, hopefully the Eagles with our bets here don't have the sound on for the pregame show. Going.
Oh, why is that?
Because Jay Glazer apparently reported here, and we don't have the audio to listen to it either, but you're at home probably did hear it, just said that the Eagles have let all the teams know to make them offers on their veteran players.
Are you kidding me?
No. At least that's what Jay Glazer said in this pregame show. So, yeah.
If they're watching that right before the game, like, you did what?
Yeah. You want me out of town? Cool.
Make say that again?
Yeah, he said on the pregame show that he has that Fox Sports Jay Glazer reported the Eagles have told teams to make them an offer on their veteran players.
Wow.
Like Carson Wentz, veteran player?
I don't know. I mean, like, who are we talking about? Yeah. Like DeSean Jackson? Alshon Jeffrey, you know, those type of guys, because you have they drafted Jalen Reagor, so maybe they're thinking, I mean, that thumb injury has to be getting better. I mean, he has to be back, you know, sometime fairly soon. So maybe they just think that he comes in and replaces those guys. But you don't know who they're talking about. So if you're sitting there and you're a vet on this team and you're hearing that news, you're probably like, are they going to trade me?
This brings up an interesting handicapping point. By the way, Daniel Jones last week, just to finish the thought, Kelly, from you, 112 yards passing, but 74 rushing. So, you know, not much difference between the two. So we as fans, let's start off as us as fans, and then we'll work our way to better, because our betting instincts have some root in how we grew up being fans. And we are led to believe as fans, and by extension as bettors, that, you know, teams are there to try to make the playoffs and to win championships. But then we hear a comment like that, as reported by Jay Glazer, and we saw earlier this week the Dolphins, despite the Bills losing 2 straight, despite the Dolphins being ahead of the Patriots for the first time this deep into a season in years, go ahead and say, you know what? We got a bye. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, again, heartbroken was the word he used today upon hearing the news. They say, Ryan, thanks for getting us to 3-3. And even though we've got, like, a legit shot to at least play meaningful games deep into the season, we're going to go with the kid. Because we got to see, I'm paraphrasing now, this is me talking, because we got to see what we have.
Right.
And the sooner we know that, the better. Okay, and we all love Tua. This is not about us not loving Tua. But I guess what I'm saying, as fans and as bettors, we assume that the Dolphins, we assume that the Eagles, teams that both have shots, the Eagles by virtue of the fact that they're in a horrific division, win tonight for the Eagles, lost by the Cowboys on Sunday. They're in first place in the NFC East. They might get a home playoff game. We assume these teams, that their motivations are aligned
right
with those of us as fans and as bettors. Shouldn't this be a cautionary tale to all of us that, yeah, that's actually not the case?
Right. And we say sometimes, we say, okay, we're assuming rational coaching, because a lot of times we think like, oh, well, this would be the logical thing to do in this situation, yada, yada. But same deal, like, they're not thinking along the lines of we are as to how we might go about covering our bet, or how, you know, what would be the optimal play in that situation. And, you know, this actually kind of brings up one of the things that you were talking about some of these 2-point conversions and to go, to not to go. What a lot of them, if you look at these models, are kind of coin flippy-ish type situations, but betting implications are quite different.
Oh.
Like, you know, are quite different, because if you had, for example, if you had the Redskins, you know, at a certain price in this game this past week, it goes to overtime, you lose the bet or something like that. You know, like, there are, or at least push, whatever it could have been. So it's, you're sitting there probably hoping they go for two and don't get it, right? There was probably a whole bunch of people sitting there rooting.
It's our own little quirky motivations as bettors. Yes.
Yeah, but like, it is strange how the way that the game actually plays out sometimes is not necessarily.
I think we as bettors have, if you've bet long enough, I think you come to terms with the fact that sometimes your bet is not aligned with the team's bet in that specific game. So in baseball, for instance, if you bet a run line on a home favorite, let's say the Yankees are beating the Red Sox 3-1, you have the Yankees -1.5. And let's say there's a walk to start the ninth inning. Well, the Yankees don't care about that runner at first, but you as a bettor who need to win by two care deeply about that runner
deeply
first. In fact, there's something in baseball's language that literally says runners, fielder's indifference when he goes to second, right? They're indifferent about your bet. So I think as bettors, we're okay with that. We've come to terms. What we're not okay with is broader motivations. So while you're watching the Washington football team in that game against the Giants, you're thinking to yourself, well, you guys have probably been better than the Giants in this game. You're still competitive in a division. If you just extend this into overtime, you might very well win this football game and you'll be atop the division, tied atop the division. But instead, Riverboat Ron, and I don't know how much of that is him trying to play up to his nickname. I said this morning on a podcast, if his nickname was Tugboat Ron, would he have not gone for it, you know? That's the thing that I think I want to sort of emphasize, which is sometimes we're shocked. We think everybody's putting up the good fight, and everybody's like, yeah, we're in it. Let's just go all out. And they're like, nah, we're going to go with Tua because we got to see what we got here.
And we'll talk the game that's about to kick off here in just a second, but I do want to get back to that one last thing, because I disagreed with, well, I didn't disagree with you. I was saying that I was indifferent on the 2-point play by Ron Rivera. And then when I went back and looked at the box score, I didn't realize how much time was still left on the clock. So 39 seconds.
Yeah.
So you're actually not guaranteeing a win by getting that 2-point conversion, right? It's different if there's 7 seconds left on the clock where
good point.
You are playing for the win.
That's right.
Right. But there's 39 seconds left, and we've seen how many 55-plus yard field goals have we seen already this year?
That's actually a very good point about that. I haven't heard that, yeah.
So, like, you're not actually guaranteeing the win there at all, right? Because they have 39 seconds to get within. Well, I mean, it's almost like these kickers, it's a coin flip from 58 yards these days, right? So, I mean, I take back my position on that, because it wasn't necessarily for the win. There was enough time there for them to get the ball down the field to try a bomb field goal.
The other thing that this discussion brings up, and again, I'm sort of, we're going all over the place here for bettors. The game is yet to start, so we'll certainly follow it play by play. But this came up on the Beating the Book podcast today, Beating the Book podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed, on our Megapod, where we have a roundtable. We go through our three best bets, our favorite teaser of the week, our survivor picks, what game we want no part of, what big favorite we think is going to is the most likely to lose outright. We do a whole bunch of it every Thursday with a rotating guest. One of the things that came up, you talk about the Washington football team's decision to go for two. Romeo Crennel's decision to go for two up seven. Some teams, when they're down eight, instead of kicking an extra point, they now try to go for two. Teams like the Steelers routinely go up 6-0 and go for two right off the bat. Mm-hmm. We're seeing all these very strange, newfangled, may I say that, newfangled, ways of playing professional football. Some of it is people subscribing to analytics. Some of it is coaches thinking they're subscribing to analytics when they don't get it.
That's the thing, is every time someone tries something, everyone just goes like, well, that's the analytics. That's what... No, sometimes it's just blind aggression. Like sometimes it's literally, sometimes it's just blind aggression. It has nothing to do with analytics whatsoever. It's just kind of like, I'm doing this.
And the layman fan immediately goes to, these analytics. I'm like, there's nothing analytical about what you just saw.
No, that's just blind aggression. It's just like, I'm going to be incredibly aggressive.
So the handicapping or the betting implication of this, or the betting result of this, is we talk about teasers. We do a segment on Tuesdays here, Tuesday teaser segment with Danielle, where we talk about our favorite teaser legs of the week. The ever popular Tuesday teaser segment, by the way. And one of the things we emphasize is the most historically successful teaser legs are short dogs that you tease through the 3 and the 7.
You could choose it if you want to as well.
That's a whole other bet.
Tease it, tease it.
Whatever. Or take a home favorite of just above 7 points and tease it down through the 7 and the 3. Why? Because the 3 and the 7 are the most key numbers. Why are they called the most key numbers? Because most NFL games, the greatest percentage of NFL games in terms of outcomes, result in final scores, final margins of victory of 3 points historically first, 7 points historically in second place. However, because of all this decision making, all this quirky decision making, this team goes for two. The next time they're in the same situation, they don't go for two. Right? It's all this arbitrary stuff going on right now. Last year, for the first time, and even into this year, the most common outcome now in National Football League games is no longer three. It is the 7 that has replaced the 3. And so, and by the way, the difference is that it used to be 15% of games fell on the 3 and 10% fell on 7s. Don't hold me to the 10%, but it was 15% threes. The 15% has gone all the way down to 10, and the 7s, the outcomes of 7, have gone to 12%. Just a 2% difference. But the notion that the outcomes of threes have gone from 15% to 10% is a monumental dip. And so much of that has to do with this strange decision-making that never used to exist. So as handicappers, now when we talk about those teaser legs, it is incumbent upon us now to also be open to teaser legs. Let's take the Chiefs today. They're 9.5-point favorites this weekend. Teasing the Chiefs from 9.5 to 3.5, so not through the 3, but just through the 7, ain't the worst thing in the world anymore.
No. And we talk about this, like, you and I are a little bit abstract when it comes to how we use teasers and things, and I don't think that there's any steadfast rule as to how I would bet certain games. I mean, like, really the only thing I do try to avoid is if there is a chance where it's like, you know, basically going through 0 to 1 or somewhere, it's almost like a dead number. I'll try to not do that, but that's even like not off the table if you're doing a same game teaser where you hate a number like a 5, for example. You know, like say you're sitting there and you just like, man, I want to bet the Eagles, but I hate this 5, you know, and you want to just bet tonight because you want a result tonight, right? If you have conviction on the over, conviction on the under, I would not tell you, well, just because you don't want to go through a 0, then bet the team you don't want to bet. You know, like I would say, bet who you want to bet.
Be honest. That kind of talk drives us crazy.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Bet who you want to bet. Yeah. Like don't bet it the other way just because you think you might look silly if you go the other way.
We haven't said this in a while. I think we said it week number one on Primetime Action, but we haven't said this in a while. We are very sensitive to the too cool for school gambler that wants to tell you at all times, 24/7, how smart they are and how stupid you are for doing such a thing. We don't believe in that. By the book, they have their reasons for telling you that, and no one's saying it's not incorrect by the letter. But you shouldn't be so stringent that you have these rules and they just remain steadfast to them. The Eagles are at 5. If you just want to make a bet where you think the Eagles, you know, I just want the Eagles to win, and so I'm going to make that bet, and then you have, as Matt said, conviction on the total either way.
just do it.
That's not the worst bet in the world. Yeah, it really
just
isn't.
Just do it. Yeah. I mean, if you hate the five and it's going to make you sick to push the button on it, then don't go the other way just because you think it's there's some rule that you can't go right. that way.
I was told I can't go through zero even to the one, so I'm going to go. Yeah, no, don't lose that way.
Yeah.
Do not lose that way. But anyway, I think all of this is fascinating because these the wave of analytics, and again, some of these coaches have properly adopted analytics, right? If you're Mike Vrabel or Bill Belichick, I don't know about Belichick because he shuns analytics, but some of these coaches have really adopted the correct way to do things. There's a lot of coaches, though, that seem to think that they're doing the right thing, or at least they're sensitive to the notion that someone's going to criticize them if they don't do the quote-unquote analytical thing, that they end up behaving however they think they're supposed to, and oftentimes inconsistently. The blackjack comparison is, again, I'm going to hit on 16 this time, but the next time the 16 rolls around, I'm going to stay. I'm just going to sit on it right here, even though you had the same card you did last time. Just as long as they're consistent, I'm okay with it. So it's kind of an arbitrary thing, and it has changed the way that NFL games land in final scores, and as bettors, it is incumbent upon us at least to be aware of that.
All right, guys, if you're going to bet this game, Sterling Shepard is going to play for the Giants. So he went out there, he tested it out, got activated off of IR today, did a little pregame warm-up. He is going to go for the Giants. On the Eagles side, we talked about a bunch of guys that were out, but no surprises. All the guys that were supposed to be out are out. Driscoll, Ertz, Sanders, Wallace, Jeffrey, Malik Jackson, all those guys are out. They were expected to be out. It was all good news on the guys that were coin flips. And that comes down to DeSean Jackson, Lane Johnson, Avante Maddox, and Duke Riley. They are all going to be going for the Eagles tonight, which, you know, we were on them anyway, Gil. And you know, look, the real big mismatch here, this Eagles front seven, which has the third best pass rush in all of the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And then you look at the Giants offense, their pass blocking unit, 32nd. I don't know if you know how many teams there are in the NFL. There's 32. It's dead last.
I am told it is 32.
It is dead last in as far as pass blocking, and I think they're going to make it a really, really, really long night on Daniel Jones. And, you know, this getting a little bit healthier with DeSean Jackson being back out there, I think that adds a little bit of a wrinkle to this offense. Getting Lane Johnson on that offensive line is so incredibly huge as well to create a little bit more time for Carson Wentz that, as, you know, Kelly mentioned, had been running for his life out there as well. But, you know, look, no pass rush to speak of from the Giants side of the ball. So I really do like the Eagles, even at our current number, which is still sitting at 5. Really do like the Eagles in this situation.
Let me ask you this, and this is betting aside for a second, and we're on the Eagles. Yeah. There's a lot of Giants fans watching, and there might be some Giants fans watching saying, hey, man, y'all hating on the Giants. No, we're just betting our conviction. We have nothing against the Giants. Another night, we'll bet on the Giants. Matt's been betting on the Giants
bet
all
on
year.
Giants like probably three times already.
How's that worked out for you?
I think we won one of them.
There you go.
Hey, I'm on the Giants.
There you go.
And 10.5, not 5, but 10, yeah.
But betting aside, if the Giants win this football game, and they could, stranger things have happened, how bad, like as big of a joke as the NFC East is right at this moment, how much more of a joke will it be 4 hours from now? Like, I mean, if the Giants win this game, and then they go to 2-5 and the Eagles go to 2-5-1, you could conceivably, Cowboys are playing Washington, so we don't know what's going to happen in that game. That's a total coin flip game. You could conceivably have a division next week that has no team with more than 2 wins through 7 weeks.
Yeah,
did you see those simulations Seth Walder did at ESPN?
Oh,
they ran.
That.
You see that?
I saw this. Yeah,
they ran like I don't know how many NFC simulations, but there's one.
It was
scenario.
Like 10,000. I mean, it was a ton, but it was multiple that came out.
20 simulations. It was a very low percentage, mind you. But the disaster scenario for the NFC East in those simulations, and it happened 20 times out of these thousands, was the number one team was 4-12. It was like a three-way tie.
It was all four teams, but the who has the tie? The Eagles, right? They win because they have the tie, right?
Oh, they won the tiebreaker.
Well, no, because they wouldn't have 12 losses. They'd be 4-11-1.
Yes, they win at 4-11-1. Correct. Do you imagine? That tie that everyone was killing them for punting, remember, at the end? They're like, why aren't you trying to win the game? They're like, no, we'll punt.
We're worried about winning the division in the long run.
It ends up being the greatest play of the season. That's what got them the win.
Daniel Jones, at least one turnover in every game this season. Giants, 31st in offensive efficiency. 4.7 yards per play, which is 30th in the NFL. I just don't see the Eagles actually playing fairly good defense. You know, kind of behind the scenes, especially on the pass rush and the rush defense. Don't know how the Giants get it done as we head into kickoff here.
We see what you did there. We had just a few seconds, and you managed to squeeze in another shot at Daniel Jones.
Now, this sounds like this is very high on the Matt confidence scale this week.
I got that feeling,
right?
Too.
Of games that he likes. I think it's very high.
You didn't put in contest picks early, though, did you?
I did not. It's just, again, because I would have put in. I would have put in for
Tampa Bay.
I'd have put in for Tampa, and so I won't know until Saturday afternoon if that's how I'm going to go that route or not.
Well, kickoff about to happen in Philly. Giants and the Eagles. Eagles going to close here, it appears. Going to close as a 5-point favorite. Five and a half, right as I speak.
Right as we go into it here.
There it is. So it didn't quite get all the way back to 6.5, but it did go from 6.5 to 3.5. Back up to 5.5, and the total ticks up to 45 here right before game time. So some late Eagles money kind of all afternoon long. We've been seeing increased amount of Eagles money all the way back up to 5.5, which we know is kind of no man's land in betting between the 3 and the 7. But that's where it will close, it appears, with the total at 45. Eagles minus 205 on the money line. The Giants plus 160 if you think they're going to win this outright. That's the current number anyway at DraftKings. They're set to kick off. We'll come back right here on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings, right here on MSG+.
Not Gil Alexander or Matt Brown, you can still be a VIP. DraftKings VIPs enjoy exclusive benefits, enhanced promotional offers, top-tier customer support, access to personalized contests, and more. Visit DraftKings.com/VSiN to learn more. Plus, everyone can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. Sign up with the promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to claim your exclusive offer. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Gil, Matt.
Thank you, Danielle. We are underway.
How you make a bad defense worse? You go no huddle to start the game. They are like going no huddle to start the game against the Giants.
Not only are the Eagles going no huddle, but first two plays, Deshaun on a rush, then a pass to Deshaun, and then Deshaun was like, I'm tired, take me out of the game. Boston Scott then for 5 yards, Boston Scott for another 8 yards, and the Eagles are matriculating the ball down the field. As Matt said, no huddle, just hurry up.
We talked about this the other night in these games. We said, sometimes when these teams play like their hair is on fire, they just march the ball right down the field because you take the deep. There's another completion.
The Giants did hold the Eagles to 1 yard on the subsequent first down, but there is a 2nd and 9 play that I believe went 8 yards. So I think this is a 3rd and 1. That was Gary Ward Jr. on the catch. So 3rd and 1 now for the Eagles. In Giants territory now, not quite in the red zone, but big 3rd and 1 here in the early going. This is the first 3rd down of the game for the Eagles on this opening drive. 3rd and 1 at, let's call it the 31.5. Wentz under center. We rarely get to say that these days in the NFL.
Which means quarterback sneak, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it does. And he does not come close. Stoned at the line of scrimmage. The Giants knew that was coming. So here's your first 4th down decision of the young game. 4th and 1, call it a long one, for the Eagles at the Giants 31. What will Doug Peterson do? Kelly, what were you pointing
at? Sorry, you got the slow feed. Faster feeds up top.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. We have a quicker... I see. So, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate it. We're looking at the TV that apparently was dragging. So, still fourth and one. And Lane Johnson goes out of the game.
Oh,
my goodness. It's a leg injury, too. He did walk off on his own power. But that's never... I mean, boy, he cannot stay on the field, man. The Eagles have elected to go for it. Fourth and one. At the 31-yard line, Wentz this time in shotgun takes the snap. Can't find a man. He's going to take it himself. He's going to get there. Slides head first. First and 10 Eagles at the Giants 27.
It was – so you said they knew it was coming. Like, so if we knew it was coming
– yes.
Then they obviously the NFL defensive have to know. When he lines up in shotgun every single play and then – all of a sudden on a third and one goes up, goes under center. And I'm like, that's going to be a quarterback sneak. I mean, like, it's like, of course they know it.
What's going
to
happen?
They have to know it.
8-play, 47-yard drive that has taken over 4 minutes already for the Giants. For the Eagles, rather. First and 10 at the Giants 28. What has this done to the live line already?
We are sitting at, well, it's off the board, I guess, because of
a little 1 yard flag, run. 1 yard run for Boston Scott. But yeah, laundry on the field. This could be on the offense. That flag came out pretty quickly. So currently DraftKings live line comes off the board pending the call. First penalty of the game. Movement by the Eagles. Cheating on the Eagles. So that'll be a 5 yard penalty. It'll be second and 14 here for Philadelphia.
Another touchdown for Appalachian State. They are up 21-7 now. Live line of that game is 21.5. Live total 76.
76. Pre-flop was 69.5, so our strategery there, not good.
So even with that penalty, it pops back up, Eagles 7.5.
Yeah, and of course, by the way, they took the penalty, so first and 15, pardon me, my error. First and 15, Wentz in shotgun, that's an easy little pitch and catch to DeSean Jackson.
Two already.
Two catches, and what was your number?
Two
what was
half.
Your yardage?
I need three catches and more than 34.5, so 35 yards.
You are on the cusp of both. One more catch, you win, and I think you're pretty close on the yardage as well. DeSean Jackson, first game back, two catches and already one carry that got the Eagles a first down as well. DeSean Jackson, whether it was in Philly, his first go-around, in D.C., a brief stint in Tampa, always makes an impact. By the way, Carson Wentz hard count drew the Giants offside. So a second and six, a first and 15 that turned into a second and six is now a second and one. Although the officials are conferring, I'm not sure what they're conferring about. That's clearly an encroachment play, and it is encroachment. Yep. Second and one, Eagles having no trouble, with the exception of that third and one play, which clearly was going to be a sneak. Second and one, Dalvin Tomlinson guilty of the encroachment there on the hard count. Is that Lane Johnson back in? Is he back in the ballgame? I believe he is. So the Eagles get their man. We're coming back. VSiN's primetime action, powered by DraftKings.
Week of a full college football schedule, and we've updated the VSiN college football betting guide, including all the teams from the Big Ten, Mid-Atlantic, and Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides, 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets, breaking news, advanced stats, and game previews on VSiN.com. Get yourself in the game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your football midseason special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil?
Danielle, appreciate it. Danielle will be back with us momentarily to talk World Series adjusted MVP odds. We'll see how far Brandon Lau has crashed over there at DraftKings after his 2-home run performance last night. First drive of the game, Eagles 11 plays, 75 yards to the house. It ends on a Carson Wentz 1 yard run, 6:15. That's how long the drive took. And you were talking, Matt, we were right on the break. the epidemic of quarterbacks scoring first when we're on the air here. What is the updated live lines here?
If you want to get in on the Giants, now would be the time to do it. They have not touched the ball yet, and they are plus 11 over at DraftKings. So you can get them over the double digits here before they even have an offensive possession. So this would be the time to do it if you like them.
Sometimes, this is the point of this show. The point of this show is not only to give you our pre-flop bets, because you're probably like, well, wonderful that you guys have bet those before the game. You can choose to join us or not. But it really, the point is to make in-game wagers, to isolate moments where we can have most favorable position to take in a given game, and we'll lay out the strategy for you. In the Appalachian State, Arkansas State game, we said, hey, if it's a slow start, we'll pound the over. Didn't work out, scored a lot of points early, kind of ran away from us. Maybe it'll get there, but probably not. This game, we're like, hey, if the Giants take a lead, we're going to do more on the Eagles in-game at a more favorable price. Well, so far, that hasn't worked out either. Eagles 7, Giants nothing. As the Giants take over at their own 27, first play, it's Eric Ingram, 7 yards, 2nd and 3 for the New York Football Giants.
DeSean Jackson, 2 catches for 19 yards on that drive. Rodgers, 1 catch for 18. And Ward, 1 for 8. Carson Wentz ran 3 times, only for 4 yards, but he did do that goal line score. DeSean Jackson had 1 carry for 12, and Boston Scott, 3 for 14.
This is one of these games, too. This is one of my pet peeves in the NFL. Daniel Jones airs it out, nobody downfield, 3rd and 3. I guess the intended receiver, I guess I'm supposed to say that the intended receiver was Darius Slayton, but it wasn't really a competitive throw. This is one of those games. One of my pet peeves in the NFL this year is there are teams where the left or right tackle false starts every single game. Oh, maybe they did. Did they flag?
They flag Slay there.
They flagged.
You can't play defensive back. Like I said, you can't play defense.
So the reason apparently that it was not a non-competitive throw is that they flagged Slayton. No, they didn't flag Slayton. They flagged Slay, rather, yes. So Slay on Slayton. So it'll be 1st and 10 for the Giants at their own 39. Pardon me. But watch on passing plays, and that's a run up the gut for the Giants. Nice first down carry, I should say. And the Giants have a 2nd and short once again. There are teams this year where the left or right tackle false starts every single play. Mm-hmm. And when you false start every single play, it's just a little beat earlier than the rest of the line, they can't call it. Or they refuse to call it because, oh, well, that's just how he gets out of his thing. Watch the Giants here on pass plays. We'll see if that's a thing tonight or not. Watch the left tackle. We'll see if it happens on this play right here. 2nd and 3 for the Giants. Let's see if it's a beat early. Let's see. Shotgun for Daniel Jones. Nope, not that time. Snaps, pass, drop. Going to be 3rd and 3. Tough catch on the swing around there because Devonta Freeman just turned as the ball was getting to him, so didn't work out. Timing of that play kind of messed up. 3rd and short.
And like we said, if you really wanted to get in on the Giants, the time to do it was right before that kickoff went down where you were getting 11, even with them just getting that holding penalty and then the 7-yard run already down to 9, so you're not getting the double digits anymore. The semi-key number of 10 is gone as well, so it's down to 9.
Would you have thrown the flag there?
No. I mean, come on. that was just like basic hand fighting going down the field.
Didn't feel that way to me. Daniel Jones does complete a pass. It will be short, but a flag. So instead of what would be a 4th and 1, Eagles think it's on the offense. Oh. Daniel Jones looking, trying to figure out if it is, in fact, on the Giants themselves. They needed 3. The pattern was for 2. And the call on the field, they're going to Doug Peterson, so it is on the Giants. And what they're asking Doug Peterson, do you want to take this penalty and make it 3rd and long, or do you want to decline it and give the Giants a 4th and 1? And Doug Peterson has decided, we will find out now, pass interference offense on the play, and the Eagles have decided to take the penalty.
I think it's probably the right play.
I do too.
Because 4th and 1, they're going to go for it, and 3rd and 13, yep, is conversion percentage is so low. Probably the right call.
I think that is the correct play. By the way, 2-yard pass was to Ingram, but 3rd and 13 is in fact what the Eagles have decided to go with, and that I agree with you, Matt, is the proper play. And it's one of those where you're like, hey, you can get 13 yards on me, Daniel Jones. Yeah. Tip of the cap. Now what's the line, though?
10.5.
That's what happens when you get into 3rd and 13. And if it was 4th and 1, it wouldn't have been 10.5, I bet. The betting markets will tell you what the proper decision is. Daniel Jones flushed out of the pocket. He should probably tuck that under. He will, but he will be short. He'll be about 3 yards short of the line to gain. So 4th and 3, let's call it, for the Giants. Punt formation coming with the Eagles up 7-0, 6:35 left in the first
quarter. Kelly, there's 10 yards towards your 26.5, so
keep running, Danny.
You'll take it.
Running, Danny.
You'll take it. That's 10 yards towards your 26.5.
Keep on. Pardon me. They are, yes, now, oh, okay. They, now they're on the punt unit.
What are they doing?
I have no idea what that was about. That's a late with the clock, with the play clock now under 15.
Analytics.
Yeah, analytics. Under 10 seconds now. So the Giants are out there now in punt formation. That was weird. Referee gets out of the way. Play clock now under 5. They snap. It's high, but they get it, and they get the punt off. And that will bounce? No, it would be fair caught at the 10-yard line. Call it the 11-yard line for the Eagles. That's where they'll take over. 6:03 left. Giants doing Giants things.
The people were angry. They were about to angry tweet already, Gil. Like, it was happening. If they'd have gone for it right there, they'd be like, the analytics is ridiculous. He's like, no.
How dare you go for it?
No analytic model is ever telling you to go for it right there.
Do you think, though, that that was just poor organization, or did you think that Joe Judge and staff actually had a notion to go for it?
I think there was a split second where they probably considered
it. And then they came to terms with
that. Came to terms with, like, it's 4th and 3 on our own 43. We should not be doing this.
Quick college football update. Arkansas State's starting quarterback knocked out of the game. They missed a field goal on a short 4th and goal. It is still 21-7. Live spread 22.5. Live total 70.
Ooh. So basically back down to the preflop number, a half point higher.
Yep.
Maybe we'll have an opportunity. Mm. Who knows? Kelly will let us know. We'll come back. We'll watch more of the Giants-Eagles and look for an opportunity in both pro and college. It's primetime action right here on MSG+.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up and start betting with the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's that easy. Download the app, use code VSIN, and get up to $1,000 as a sign-up bonus. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey and Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook for full details. Gil, Matt, Carson Wentz.
Yeah. What were the odds on him scoring first?
14-1. What is up with these quarterbacks?
14-1.
It's every Thursday night. Maybe this is, you know what? Every Thursday night, the quarterback scores the first touchdown of the game. Yeah, I don't know if you know
trend
that.
Alert.
Yeah. Don't know if you know that.
By the way, the Giants did force a 3-and-out of the Eagles, so the Giants will get the ball back in what should be very good field position, down 7-0. But the previous punt by the Giants, we went to break as it was happening. The Giants punter, Riley Dixon, recognized that the gunner was wide open on the left side, but the gunner did not look back. They could have just thrown, like, you know, the laziest pass, and they would have gotten the first down. But both people have to be aware of it. Riley Dixon was, potential receiver was not. Giants will get the ball 1st and 10.
And great.
In great field position. 1st and 10 at the Eagles 39 when play resumes. But Danielle.
Yeah.
I believe you have some World Series MVP stuff to tell
us about. That's right. The Rays tied up the series last night. Let's take a look at the updated MVP odds. Mookie Betts obviously still sitting at the top at plus 215. Then we have Clayton Kershaw at plus 450. Corey Seager 10-1. Bellinger 15-1. Bueller 15-1. Bueller, anybody?
Bueller. Well, here's the thing about Bueller. It'll be game 3 and game 7 for him, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get 3 appearances, it's tough to bet on a pitcher.
It is very tough.
As great as Bueller is.
What about Tyler Glasnow dropping to 55-1?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But what about Brandon Lau after his 2 home run performance at 22-1?
That is no longer.
Yeah, that can't
be. He is 12-1.
Okay, that's
what. Yes, he is 12-1. So that is a much
That move today.
That is a much worse price. Quickly. Yes, he is 12-1.
Well, that wasn't fun. Yeah. That lasted for about 10 seconds.
Yeah. He's 12-1. We should not say that you can get an extra $10 for every dollar you bet.
22-1 I just talked about? No, it doesn't exist. How about Randy Arosarena at 30-1, Danielle?
It is still 30-1. So that one's still
ALCS good. MVP, perhaps his back gets hot again.
Does he have a hit yet in this series? Is the stage too big for George Herman Babe Arosarena?
It's not positive, Gil.
I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Did he not get a hit last
time? I think he walked once. I might be wrong.
I'm checking.
Yeah. I know he got to first base on a walk, but I don't think that he has a hit, but I could be wrong. But
he's slumping.
Oh, he's terrible. He's slumping. 30-1 is pretty interesting. Boy, you really got Danielle. When I saw that 22-1 on Brandon Lau, I was going to tell Rays fans. I was like, hey, if you believe in the Rays, there's your guy. Mookie at +215. I know it's the short shot there, but that dude's getting it if the Dodgers win.
Yeah.
And the reason, again, is it took Corey Seager 5 homers and 11 RBI to take it from him in the NLCS. And that's when Mookie Betts basically won the series for them with amazing defensive gems in games 5, 6, and 7. If Mookie does anything in the series, and by the way, he already has in game 1, that play where he scored from third, Joe Sheehan was telling us, Joe Sheehan watched it like 10 times. He still can't understand how Mookie scored. And we just kind of take it for granted. So he's this rare superstar that does all these little things and embraces doing little things. So unless Corey hit a home run last night, but unless Seager hits another 5 home runs.
Which he could,
I guess. That was my guy for NL MVP during the season. Didn't work out. I think it's Mookie's to lose.
Mookie, what a name. Do you know his real name?
That Seager home run, though, was a
straightaway
bomb.
Center.
Was a bomb.
Daniel Jones over the top. Caught
Golden
touchdown.
Tate.
Golden Tate rips the ball away from the defender. One play, touchdown Giants, and it's 7-6, and Golden Tate shadow boxing against the goalpost. 7-6, 4:13 left. What does that move the line to, sir?
We're off the board, I guess, pending extra point here. He actually kind of got interfered with. They didn't throw a flag there.
No, they did not.
the other play is just
And Tate was arm wrestling with LeBlanc on that play, and he just, you know, nice catch. 7-6, extra point coming here. 4:13 again left in the first quarter as the Giants look to tie it up, and they do.
Eagles -4, the total all the way up to 50 now, -190 on the money line for the Eagles, +148 for the Giants.
Mookie's name is Marcus Lynn, Mookie Betts.
I see why he goes with Mookie, though. That's way cooler.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what name I like tonight? Boston Scott.
Boston Scott.
Boston, that's his real name, Boston.
If your last name was Massachusetts, what would you name your kid?
I mean, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. I would have named him Michael because I'm a big fan of the Office.
Massachusetts. Yeah. Just wondering.
Brad?
Brad Massachusetts. No.
Austin, Massachusetts.
Makes sense. Yeah.
He won a state championship in high school, Boston Scott did. In what sport do you think he won that state championship?
I am peering into your mind.
Yes.
And I'm going to say pole vaulting.
200 meter.
No. He did do track, though.
Long jump.
No, weightlifting.
Shot put.
Weightlifting. He won a state championship in weightlifting, and he's only 5'7", so he's like my height, which is crazy to me, but I guess that's like Darren Sproles as well.
Remember Doug Martin, what his nickname was?
Muscle Hamster. Which he does not like. He would like you to respect his name as is.
We're talking to a Tampa guy over here, so he did not like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a Tampa guy, but yeah, he did not like that. He just still doesn't like that.
What are you, a Miami guy?
Yeah, it's the other side of the state.
Big difference. Come on, man.
The other side of the state, man. Come on.
It is.
Come on.
That's West Coast, bro.
Wait, what were we talking about again? Oh, yeah, Mookie Betts.
Boston Scott. And muscle hamsters and things like that.
Yeah.
Somehow we got it.
Makes sense.
I believe in the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I had, again, so many tickets on Corey Seager to win the National League MVP. He was in play, but there was 6 other guys that were in play too, including Mookie. It'll probably go to Freddie Freeman or to Soto from the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
Then Corey Seager goes crazy in LCS, but Mookie Betts is the guy here. And I know it's only +215, but you know what? +215, if it was like an underdog in baseball, we'd rejoice at that number. Mm-hmm. So I actually like that number still for Mookie.
They've updated these exact outcomes, and no real juicy numbers out there outside of the Rays going ahead and winning the rest of the games here and taking it down 4-1. You can get a plus 1,100 at that. But really, you know, Dodgers winning 4-2 is plus 260. Dodgers winning 4-3 is 330. Dodgers winning 4-1 is 350. So any of the Dodgers bets, not really all that appealing.
Do you like this going to 7?
I do not.
Okay. We know that's not
what. But I am told that my sweep is a loser. That is no longer possible.
That is no longer possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take my 4-0 game one. Didn't work out so well last night. But I, as Kelly and I were talking about earlier, unless the Rays go up 2-1, you don't really have our attention quite yet.
The over hit, though. I did get the over.
You did hit the over again.
Although I paid the extra juice for the...
Here's an interesting ensuing kickoff. The Giants decide to sort of pooch it over the front line, and then it's picked up. Wow. Picked up by the Eagles. Pretty good run back to the 30. That was weird every which way.
It really was.
It wasn't an onside kick. It wasn't kicked deep. It wasn't even a mortar kick. It was like a pooch over the first line. The Eagles fielded the punt sort of a beat late. That was Jason Huntley of the Eagles. And then he got all the way to the 30-yard line. They're showing the replay of the Tate touchdown. 7-7. Current in-game line, -4. Now it was -3.5. It ticked down, and now it's off the board momentarily. But Eagles -3.5 right now was latest. Now it's back up to 4.5 as it appears.
I'll tell you this. We were talking about Daniel Jones, and credit where credit's due. That pass was on the money.
Yes.
Like, that pass was on the money, only where his guy could get it. Wentz running for his life again.
That is one heck of a 3-yard run.
Matt and I will not be disappointed with any quarterback runs here.
Yeah, just run. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Quarterbacks just run the rest of the evening. That's perfectly fine with us. But yeah, I mean, credit where credit's due. That was a really, really good pass by Daniel Jones. He had all the time in the world, so it makes sense that he was able to put it on the money.
Golden Tate plus 240 to score a touchdown in this game.
That was it, Danielle, the World Series MVP plus these right here?
Yeah.
It's what,
Mookie's, right?
What exact outcome do we like here, Dodgers and Rays? Did we commit to any currently with the series knotted up at one game apiece?
I like the short shot. Dodgers win in 6.
Yeah, so do I.
Plus 260.
There is Boston Scott catching a little screen. Boston Scott to just near midfield. First and 10 Eagles at their own 49.
Did that give you the 19 already? Oh, it's 15. All right.
You had a Boston Scott prop too, right?
19.5.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Matt Jones, prop killer. Matt Brown too.
Yep.
There we go. Boston Scott, nice design play by the Eagles. And so the Eagles are in business once again. Tie game 7-all here with 2:52 left in the first quarter of this one. Let's take you to the break with this. Wentz shotgun takes the snap. Oh, had a man easily open over the middle, but it's knocked down at the line of scrimmage. So 2nd and 10, that was a kind of lazy play. Leonard Williams batting that down. Lazy play from Wentz there. But Leonard Williams makes the play. So 2nd and 10 for the Eagles. And this is hovering right about where it was pre-flop now.
Oh, except for the total. Total is up a full 6.5 points
right
from where we went off. But yeah, line is right where it's at. Money line right where we went off at. But the total way all the way up now, that takes up to 52 as we're talking.
Danielle, you thinking about getting in on this at all? Nothing? Nothing so far?
Perhaps an under.
There you go. Wentz to Boston Scott. Yes. 13 yards. 1st and 10. And there's your Boston Scott over.
If you can get a prop home in the first quarter...
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
How about within 9.5 minutes? Even better.
Yeah.
Boston Scott working with a lot of space underneath. Even the one that was just batted down. It's a lot of space underneath right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll have it 1st and 10 at the Giants 40 when we resume closing 2 minutes of the first quarter. 7-7 ball game. Early going. So far, an entertaining Thursday night game.
Really is.
Yeah.
Really has been.
Yeah. We'll update you next. We're trying to get in on this in-game. Eagles matriculating, coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action, powered by DraftKings.